Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, and I have neither Ziggy Rodriguez nor Venerable Tom Dorrien here. Neither of them are here. They've left me alone, but it's okay because I've got company. I'm so excited. You heard that laugh. That's John Edwards.
Yes, it is.
John, it's been a while since you've graced us with your presence.
Well, hey, when you need somebody to fill in, you've got my number, and it was a joy to come and be with you.
Yeah, the last time I called that number, though, I got this an answering service. Mr. Edwards is in Timbuktu, and he's doing a conference, and he can't talk to you right now.
Oh, that was supposed to be for Jeff Drzemski.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Wrong guy.
I'm so glad. No, I've always loved you and appreciated you, and, you know, we go way back.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad to have you back here in the luxurious corner booth because, man, we have something really exciting to announce, and we are lucky here at the Catholic Cafe to be one of the first people to kind of help you launch this new thing, and super buzzed to hear about it. And that is, you've written a book.
Yeah.
You know?
I never thought I would ever hear that, but yes.
Yeah. No, we didn't think you
could ever do it. Neither did my English teachers growing up, I can tell you that much.
No, I did have to ask when you said, hey, I got a book coming out. I said, does it involve crayons?
Yeah, it was color by number. Paint by number.
Do you have to color in pictures? No, you actually wrote a real book with real words in it.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic, and I'm so glad you did that. So, tell me about the book first and foremost. It's Power Made Perfect.
Yeah.
Right? It's called Power Made Perfect, Finding True Strength in Christ. And it comes to us from, what's the name of the
it's
publishing
Heart of the
company?
Holy Family.
Heart of the Holy Family,
yeah.
Publishing company. And it sounds like, you know, it sounds like a good, well, you know, Power Made Perfect.
Sure.
You know, I think we're channeling St. Paul there
a
little bit. But why did John Edwards write that book?
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, the publisher's Dr. Bob Schutz Publishing Company. So it's in partnership with the John Paul II Healing Center. Over the years, I've started to do men's healing conferences with them. And Bob and I, as we got to be friends over the years, he encouraged me to write my story. And people have asked me for years, Deacon Jeff, to write my story. And I was like, I don't want to just write my story. Like, what am I to? On a cold winter day in 1978, John
That's
Edwards
how mine
was born.
Starts. That's
Who
how
cares?
Mine starts.
You know, I want to write about Jesus. And so all the years, I just kept putting it off. And then one night, I was on a plane coming back from an event with Dr. Bob. And he said, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I said, yeah. Like, but it's this theme on Power Made Perfect. It's the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, when St. Paul's lamenting about the thorn in his side three times and begging God to remove it. God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That verse, it always meant something to me because of walking into my parish to a room full of men one night and sharing my story with them out of the blue. And I realized that growing up, most men had been told, you know, to work hard, to never complain, to never have feelings, never have emotions, put your head down, be a one-man army. You know, if you're older, a John Wayne or a Clint Eastwood, or younger, a John Wick, you know, go out there and do everything yourself. And so men have just shoved down all of these things, and we turn to the wrong things. We self-medicate. We're chasing something that's missing, a power. And so Dr. Bob was like, well, you know, that power is what we lost in the beginning, right? We were clothed in original glory. We had original divinity with God, this relationship, this friendship with God, and that's what we really lost in the fall. But so many of us don't personalize that. We go, oh, yeah, Adam and Eve, they bit the apple, and everything's been horrible since then.
Yeah, I will say this, though. If Adam had actually been John Wick, that might have been a whole different...
Sure.
It'd be a different Bible.
Yeah, don't kill that guy's dog. Yeah, it is, right? But no, it is. Go ahead.
That's really awesome. And I'm going to stop you at this point and just to remind folks... you know, John Edwards has been out there doing the kind of speaking thing. He's doing some awesome job in different dioceses. He's been called in to help sort of rebuild their men's groups in parishes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually working with parishes all over the country right now in trying to help them rebuild a men's presence in grouping.
Yeah.
And you've got a model that you employ in doing that. You've done that at your own parish at home, but also you're expanding this out. But you've got like an incredible witness story. You've got a great testimony from the very first time that I heard it and experienced you and came to know about you. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I've known you for so many years, and I've heard like your story. I guess sure. I say so many times as if like I keep watching, you know, a movie over and over again. I'm going to watch this John Edwards story again. The thing is, I've heard so much, but at the end of the day, I really didn't know. Like, there's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
That and this is maybe the difference. Maybe it's what stopped you. Maybe it was the holdup in writing a book because you've actually got to come in with. It's not just about putting in planks. You've actually got to put nails to hold the planks down.
Yeah.
Then you've got to put some kind of something filler in
all
between.
All the rebar and
there's
else.
All these things that you have to build around it, and so basically it's detail. And I was just amazed when you sent me a copy, an advanced copy of this book. I opened it up, and you know, I'm one of these guys that like I don't necessarily like to be manipulated,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm cautiously. Like always going sure. like, well, let me dip into this. And so I jumped around. So I'd go to, it's like, I know that part of the story. I know about the part. And I knew it. And so I'd jump around. So I picked a little paragraph here. I picked a little paragraph there. And I couldn't stop. And I'd read that paragraph and go like, well, this is, wow, I didn't know that part of that. So then I went back and I read, so like, let me find out some of his childhood stuff. And what are these, like some of these wounds and stuff. And then I started going dipping around. I jumped all over the thing. And I basically read your book nonlinear fashion.
Yeah, sure.
Read everything. And so now I've endeavored to go back to read from start to finish, you know, just because I want to do it that justice. But in all of that, what I thought I knew about you, I've learned so much more. And it's not just about... Like, I've learned more about John Edwards. I've learned so much more about myself.
Mm.
And I would imagine that every other man that's out there has had these experiences, and you don't realize how profound these little things, these little building blocks of your life are.
Yeah.
We all want to recount. It's like, well, here's the history of Deacon Jeff Drzymski. And you're going to pick the top 10 things that you want people to know.
Sure.
And you tell them those 10. Even if some of them are a little challenging, you know, a little bad, a little vulnerable to be able to reveal that. But you're really going to make sure that 7 out of 10 are fantastic.
Sure.
So that people go like, hey, that's a life well lived. But here you give us like 1,000 things, and it's all these parts and pieces. And when they come together, it was like a really good soup. I mean, at the end of the day, it just blended in a way where, as I'm reading, and there were things I didn't even know
mm-hmm.
that were moving me. So was that the difficulty in writing? Yeah. Putting all that stuff down and figuring out where everything, what was important, what wasn't?
Yeah, so as I started working on the book, there was a theme that kind of underlined going along with the power, and it was communion, right? It's when I was younger and I was in my church group, everything was fine. I had friends, I had community, and things were great then. When I got into college and I lost those friends, they all went off to college, and I lost that community, I found myself in the wrong community with the wrong communion.
Mm,
and then later again in my life, when everything went to heck and back, and then, you know, found myself starting that men's group, I found that good communion again with men that I've been walking with for 10 years now. And so God is always wanting to restore us to community. We were made by love, for love, and through love. And so everything that God wants to do is to bring us back into relationship and communion with Him. So what I started to realize is, yeah, this is my story, but it's really all of our story. You know, whether, yeah, maybe you didn't get arrested and do a bunch of cocaine and almost lose everything in your life, but all of us have something, like unforgiveness, anger, judgment. There's so many things in our life. And the way that we're raised, our family of origin, our stories matter. When you go back and you look, one of the reasons I needed communion so much is because my dad worked 2 jobs. He wasn't ever around. And when he was tired. He was worn out. When he would point something out to me, it always came across as negative criticism to me. There weren't a lot of I love yous and I'm proud of you. So like growing up, I was always searching for those things. I was searching for that affirmation. And then I started to see God the way that I saw my dad, right? And it's just like God's angry. God's always judging. God is condemning. God is punishing. And so I found myself away from God in those ways. And it's so beautiful because God uses these things to bring us back. And even this very book. You know, my father died recently in January of this year.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah. I know that was a tough
thing. Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. And there were a lot of things we hadn't talked about. But when I wrote this book, Dr. Bob said, look, you've got to you've got to take this to your dad. Like, we can't put this out without his permission. And I was scared to death. I was like, he's going to murder me. Like, he's going to say, like, if you put this out, like, you were never my, you were no longer my son.
He was kind of on death's door, I think, wasn't he, in this situation? He would have risen up to.
He was fighting mesothelioma and immunotherapy treatments and stuff. But I took it to him and he read it. And the next morning, I didn't even see my dad read a book in like 30 years, but he read this in a night and he just said, son, I'm so proud of you. Like, this is all the things I wanted to say to you that I never could really say. I couldn't figure out how. And I also, here's the thing too, Deacon Jeff, is I learned that yes, all those things hurt when I was little, but I also understand what it's like to be a father now. And I didn't understand that. And what men are going through, what you're putting up with, dealing with, trying to figure out, you feel like the world's on your shoulders and that you're constantly seeking something that you're never going to find, but except in Christ. So that was healing for my father and I, because I could have that conversation with him. I could understand his point of view. And I always loved my dad. It just wasn't, it didn't always shake out the way I wanted it to when I was younger. Yeah. But I'm sure Jacob or Caitlin or Allison could say the same thing about me sometimes.
Yeah, and you know, it's really easy for us sometimes to blame other people for how we are at the end of the day. What I really like about this is that you actually take ownership of all this. I mean, you're brutally honest, not only about your relationship with your dad and your wife, Angela, but also you're brutally honest about your relationship with yourself, your understanding of yourself and all these things. And that's something that's, I think, the biggest challenge, I think, most men especially, but really everybody today, we're just not, you look at the world that we live in right now, you look at social media, you watch anything online and you realize everyone's got this image that they're portraying and the world's gotten totally out of sorts. And a lot of it is because we're not really honest with ourselves.
Yeah. No, it's 100%. You know, there's a big clip going around by the comedian Theo Vaughn where he basically answered a caller's call that was talking about suicide and stuff. And he's had his own addictions. And he went into this 20-minute interior conversation out loud, like looking at his own life and talking about how he'd been reading the Bible app. And he was praying this prayer that's like, Lord, even as I'm praying for you to help me stop this, part of me knows I'm lying to you, that I'm going to do it again. It was one of the most honest things I've ever seen. And I think we've had so much like far left and far right and far this and far that, that people are just sick of all this stuff. And it's like, what's the truth?
Yeah.
What's the truth? And so for me, Deacon Jeff, like I lied for so long in my life. That's the real freedom I found, is I could be myself. I didn't have to lie. I didn't have to put on facades. I didn't have to try to be somebody else. And it's so freeing. Because at that point, it's like, all I want to do is tell the truth now.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't mean like you need to go get on a parade float with a megaphone and tell everybody your deepest, darkest secrets. But I am okay with I'm not the person I used to be. And I know that. And I know that that's only because of the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that, you know, he met me in my life and he changed me. And knowing that, now I can be honest about these things because I'm not ashamed of them. I did them. Which, do I wish they were different? Yeah. But God's given me a different chance, and that chance isn't to be wasted on regret and worrying about what I did before. He has things for me to do now. And so this story, I share it because I know there's an epidemic of loneliness out there, of isolation, of this silent epidemic. Suicide rates are higher than they've ever been. Divorce, pornography, addiction to alcohol, drugs. All of those things are higher than they've ever been.
And the pharmaceutical industry is booming.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody is being treated for something.
Yeah. We're the most like medicated people over, but the most unhappy, like ever. We're overly medicated and yet we're still unhappy. And it's because we're looking at the wrong things. We're looking for power in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And so we have to go back to where power comes from. That's God himself.
And again, going back to the idea of where we blame everybody but ourselves without the honesty, we're looking for the boogeyman. Is it the Democrats? Is it the Republicans? Yeah. Is it Donald Trump? Who is the bad guy? And the thing and the reality is there is a boogeyman from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And Satan is still around just hunting down souls. And so at the end of the day, that's the only thing Satan can do is rob us of eternal happiness with God. Yeah. And he thinks that's going to hurt God. That's what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be very, very vigilant at pulling us away. And so all these addictions, all these problems, all these issues, when in fact, like if we can find out how to take our weakness or allow our weakness to become made powerful.
Yeah.
Right? To be made perfect, to unite our weakness in what would appear to be the weakness of the cross. which is the greatest strength on the earth ever in humanity, was Jesus on the cross in his ultimate weakness and total self-gift. Yeah. It's like, and if we realize that, then our lives would change.
Yeah, you look at that and you can see that way for sure. The crucifix, like, oh, that looks weak. Their God died. He allowed himself to die. And no, it is the most powerful thing the world has ever seen. And that's the thing. It doesn't make sense, because the world tells you vulnerability is a weakness. It tells you that you're susceptible to attack, that you're opening yourself up to ridicule and all those things. But God's like, just trust me. Stop worrying about what everybody else thinks and worry about what I think, right? And so when he says that to St. Paul, what does St. Paul go on to say after that verse 9? He says, if I'm to boast, let me only boast of my weaknesses, my hardships, my calamities, and my difficulties, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. He gets it. And so in the book, we actually take people through a healing process that all of us have to go through. It starts with vulnerability, right? Like, I have a problem and I can't solve it.
Yeah, you know? But you do it in an interesting way. You do it through the stories and the experiences of your life, and you walk through helping them to see, based on your experiences, which by extension are our experiences as well. They just change the names and the situations a little bit. And the reality is you walk us through healing, your healing, but at the same time, our potential healing, if we could just give in to Jesus, give in to a relationship with him.
Yeah, it's a lot of surrender, but yeah, it is. Like, you're vulnerable. I knew when I was doing cocaine at 2 a.m. on my couch, it wasn't a good decision and healthy. But it wasn't until I went to jail and had nowhere to run.
Consequences.
And sitting there with God, where it's like, you either have a decision to make. Either you keep going, you're going to kill yourself, you're going to die, you're going to hurt somebody else, or you can give your life back to me. And so that vulnerability, I have a problem, and I can't solve it, which then brings you to humility. There's a God, and I'm not him, which then leads you to surrender.
Amen.
Right? So I need you, God. I need you. And in that surrender, for a lot of times, we start to look back at how we've lived contrary to God, which then calls us to repentance. And then repentance brings us into reconciliation, right? Now that grace and that mercy is flowing out of the sacrament into me. God's grace and mercy, his power, is flowing into me. And that reconciliation, okay, God, now we're on good footing again together. And now what do we need to do? Well, we're all like onions, and God wants to peel layers back, because we have wounds and most people don't
know. I don't like
know.
Onions, yeah. By the way.
They're stinky, right? Nobody wants them. They make you cry. So, kind of like me back in the day.
Stinky and make you cry.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, God wants to peel those layers back. And that's what the problem is for most people. We're kind of like St. Paul in Romans 7 when he says, I do not do the good I want. I do the evil I do not want. That's the second greatest evangelist that's ever lived telling you, hey, I'm not perfect. And that's what I love about Paul. He's constantly saying, I persecuted people. I killed Christians. I was blind and then I saw, and by the grace of God, now here I am. He puts it in the right place. And that's what we're doing in this book, is saying, look, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. The only time it does is if you refuse to repent of it, because then you could be forever separated from God. But if you repent of it, God has a plan for your life, and that power can become yours. It's never been about us, except our refusal to surrender and this false notion of control that many men give into.
Well, it's an excellent book. We're talking about to John Edwards, author of Power Made Perfect: Finding True Strength in Christ. John, if someone wants this book, let's just break away for a second.
Yeah.
How do they get a hold of this book?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. I think it's going to be available on June the 1st. The Kindle version's available there. It helps the ministry more to get it directly from just
the
guy on
the
pew.com.
If we wanted to help the ministry, how could we best do that?
Yeah, that's a better answer. Sorry. Yeah, that's a better question. What am I doing? No, just a guy on the pew.com is our website. There's a store there. There's a pop-up on the website. You can go there. If you do go there, I'll sign the copies.
Yes, I have a personally signed copy in my hands.
And I never thought that I'd say that or anybody would care. But I am signing the copies that come through our website. And so we've had a lot of those over the last few days for pre-orders and stuff. And so, yeah, we'll sign it, but it's there at justaguyonthepew.com.
Could they request not to have it signed?
Yes.
It might be more valuable.
I'd be happy to do that.
At that point, but
yeah, before I get carpal tunnel, you know?
So I do want to take a minute here and just kind of turn a little bit of the page, because you're speaking about all this in your personal experience and you.
Yeah, sure.
But you're in the midst of being a happily married man myself. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bess. She's listening. You know, you're in the midst of a beautiful one flesh relationship with your wife, Angela.
Yeah.
And so obviously this had lots of effect, and I knew some of what she was experiencing. I loved like hearing the intimate detail in terms of like how this affected her and what she said and how you responded and then what happened and see the two of you healing together. I thought that was just, to me, that was my favorite part. I'll be honest with you.
Well, you were in it, so.
Well, that might have been it. And by the way, folks, it's on page 142.
There you go.
That's where I'm mentioned in the book. So if you want to skip and go right to 142. Actually, you know what? We're going to read a little piece of that.
That's how I got him to read it. I told him he was in it.
I'm in it. Yeah, that's the only way to get me to read something. No, I do want. So this is like about her story. And what's so funny is, well, first of all, it comes up in a little subchapter heading called God's Perfect Timing.
Yeah.
I think it's great that I appear there in that section.
That, but it is. You've always had good timing.
But all kidding aside, I forgot about this event. I forgot about this moment. And then once I read the detail of it, I'm going like, oh, I remember being in the car. I remember this conversation. I remember this happening.
Yeah.
And it sort of just, it woke it up in me. But this was a critical moment in Angela's life.
Yeah.
Which means consequentially, it was in yours. It was a huge moment that moved things forward. And so she's upset at you, right? And she's still mad at God.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're kind of healing. We're kind of moving towards healing. You know, we're 142 pages into the book.
So sure,
a lot's transpired here, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't look like all is lost, but it doesn't look like all is happy and holy and healthy either. And it talks about when we were going on a trip in a car together that I happened to be in. It said, when they got into the car, she started to thank him what he had helped her through see through his talk. The he is me. Sorry about that. I should have skipped that sentence. She started to explain that she had been so angry at God for allowing her to be tricked into marrying me, talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
She blamed God for allowing her to be duped by me and for asking her to honor her vows by staying with me. So she's a little upset. I'm just going to say it, right? She had seen it all as meaningless, useless suffering until the moment when Deacon Jeff spoke of the grace that comes through suffering in his talk. I gave a talk at a Curcio group on actual grace, and it touched her at a moment. But I had forgotten that whole conversation where she then goes on to say what? And this is the part that's really important, not about me, but about what her understanding, what she realized.
Yeah, she realized that she could either be upset at God for the rest of her life at the things she had been through. She'd been hit by a car in college and spent a lot of time in the hospital, and then here I come with my mess. And I mean, I would have been mad at God too, you know, like, what gives, God? Like,
she deserved better.
Yeah. And so what she realized through your talk was, and I believe you even said this to her when she questioned you about what you meant in the talk, when you were there on the weekend retreat with her, is she said, yeah, but I'm angry about the way this has happened. And you basically said, well, Angela, here's the facts. Like, you can either be angry that this is happening the way it has, you had to go through everything, or you can be happy that you're finally getting the husband that you wanted the whole time. How it happened, you can either be stuck on that or you can move forward. One way you're going to be happy, the other one you're not. And
there's a realism. To me, it's always boils down to something.
Yeah.
Right? You can have meaningless suffering, and meaningless suffering is horrible.
Yeah.
It's just suffering. And no one wants, it's not good.
Yeah.
Or you can have meaningful suffering.
Yeah, and that's what she understood. And the funny thing was, I had been asked to give my talk, we're talking about my story, for the very first time here in Memphis. And she was not okay with it. And she hadn't been okay with
it. Oh, it's airing dirty laundry to the entire community.
She didn't want people to look at me like some kind of hero, right? Like,
You're right.
Like, everybody's going to think you're great, and what about what you did to me kind of stuff. I'm sure it was part of it. And that weekend was in that car ride was the week before I was going to give that talk. And I remember you and her talking as I was just silently driving the car, listening to what was going on. And then she puts her hand on my shoulder and she said, John, I love you and I want you to give that talk. I want you to share my story. And now here we are 10 years later. I always tell people there's two heroes to this book and this story. It's not me. It's my wife and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm kind of like the donkey that Jesus rides in on in Jerusalem, you know, in Holy Week. That's kind of how I operate. But it's just a tremendous gift to put this out there because there's so many people and advanced copies of people I know that aren't just, you know, hosts and deacons and things like that, but they're guys that are really, we're getting emails from people going like, I was in the military. I lost 62 paratroopers in my unit. I've lost my family because of all the stuff that I went through. And like, this book is helping me come back from my struggles in my life, from the things that I blame God for. And that was only my only hope, Deacon Jeff, is if we sell a million books or we sell 10, my hope is that whoever reads this sees their own story, sees the goodness of God, that they're never alone and that there's never a reason to give up hope. and that God never stops chasing after us. And if that's what it does, if it gives somebody a hope at a new beginning, then that's the whole reason that I ever wanted to write this and agreed to in the first place.
You just gave me an image, the image of the father of the prodigal son that as soon as he sees him, runs to meet him.
Yeah.
Right? And our Lord is running to meet us wherever we are.
Amen.
So if you're suffering, if you're struggling, if you've got issues, we all do. Every one of us do. Some are worse than others, but they're all bad enough that they need Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, all we have to do is turn to him.
Sure.
Right? And so, Power Made Perfect, Finding True Strength in Christ by John Edwards. This is an awesome, awesome opportunity for you to just read about, a way home, a way out of whatever situation you might find yourselves to be in. And there's some great power. John Edwards, thank you so much for being here with us and helping us to see Power Made Perfect in your life. There's still work to be done.
Amen.
You'll be the first to admit that.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, Power Made Perfect, Finding True Strength in Christ is available. Is it at
justaguyinthepew.com?
Yeah, and that's where they can go and help support the ministry. You got lots of stuff there to look at, and this book is certainly available. You've already got a bunch of them flying off the shelves there.
Yeah, we've shipped a bunch of them the last couple of weeks.
So join in with everybody else, all the other lemmings, right? And follow and follow suit, because something good is happening here.
Amen.
Something good is happening here. John, you're a good friend. I'm so glad that. I promise that if I write a book, you'll be on page 142.
Thank you.
Well.
I appreciate it.
And that's something I will certainly offer to you. And all of you guys listen out there, this is an opportunity. It's not an opportunity just to read about suffering and meaningless, endless problems and lives. It's a story of healing, a story of reconciliation. It's a story of allowing Jesus to heal you just by inviting him into your life. And so thank you, John Edwards, for this opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you, my friend.
Power Made Perfect.
Thank you.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.